We'll say good morning. So we're picking up today, still in Perek Yud Aleph. We find ourselves at least in the red edition on page Kuf Yud Beis. So remember the Mechaber is Amar Rav Chista, Li'ol Kol Hash'arim Ninalu Chutz Mishare Ona. Remember again, we're now going through the different types of Averos that people inadvertently transgress, or perhaps even honestly inadvertently transgress, but transgress, and then ultimately fail to realize the true severity of what it is that they are doing. So remember, again, he was comparing ona'as mamon to ona'as devarim. If you go ahead, you hurt someone financially versus hurting someone with your words. So Michal was explaining, hurting someone with your words is in fact a worse transgression. He quotes the Gemara Bava Metzia, kala sha'arim ninalu, all of the gates have been closed, chutz misha'arei ona'ah, with the exception, again, of the gate of ona'ah, that ultimately the Gemara explains is that if somebody cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they have been wronged by another, even though in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, there is a little bit of a barrier between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when someone calls out because they have been wronged, those tefillos ascend immediately to Hashem. Va'amru shlosha'in ha'pargo minal b'tnehem, and the Gemara discusses there are three people. There are three people that the partition between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man is never close to them. Ve'echad mehen ona'a. One of them is to a person who has been pained by another. Va'afil l'dvar mitzvah, the idea that Ramchal is trying to express is that you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and pays specific attention to the man or woman who has been wronged by the other. So severe is that transgression in the eyes of God. So he goes on. He says, va'afil l'dvar mitzvah. Even if one wronged another for the purpose of a mitzvah, for example, Amar HaKasuv, Hochiach Tochiach HaSamisecha. Supposed to remember, again, on one end you can say there's a mitzvah to rebuke another. So maybe it's not such a big deal if I see someone doing something wrong, so maybe it's not a big deal to hurt their feelings, because again, remember, I am covered, so to speak, by the mitzvah of rebuke. But yet, what does the Torah say? What does the Gemara say? Va'amru zichron l'racha, Yachal afilu panav mishtanos. You might have thought that you could rebuke someone for something they're doing wrong, literally even if their face turns colors, it is even if you embarrass them. Talmud lomar velo sisa alav chet. Therefore the pasuk says, yes, you should rebuke your fellow, but do not go ahead and cause yourself to sin on his account. Which almost means that as much as there is a mitzvah of rebuke, that mitzvah of rebuke could only happen, is only permitted to happen, within the context of proper bin adam l'chaver, proper interpersonal conduct. But if at the end of the day, a person is going to rebuke someone, quote-unquote, and in the course of doing so, hurt them, or embarrass them, or humiliate them, then ultimately, again, the rebuker himself becomes the sinner. Mikol elu ma'amarim tira, from all of these different statements, we come out with one basic lesson. Ad heichon mispashtim anfei ha'asara hazos, v'kama ansha kasha, how deep-rooted this, or how many branches this particular prohibition has, and how severe its punishment is. Be'inyon nesina sa'itza, shinib mitaras kohanim. The Rabbi says, so up until now we've been dealing with hurting someone in the context of saying hurtful things to them. But there's another piece as well of giving bad advice. Shaninu mitaras kohanim v'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Remember, right now we're discussing the interpersonal prohibitions. Remember, what Ramchal is saying over here, the reason he's going through all of this is because these are the things that Ramchal feels that people often transgress. And therefore, if one is going to master the midah of nikius, this attribute of cleanliness, of purifying oneself from all negative traits, then one first has to identify the negativity that has to be expunged. So he goes on, he says, next is giving bad advice. Giving bad advice of neighbor, and the Gemara, the Medrash actually, they say the Medrash explains what does it mean to not place a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So of course, the most it can be understood literally. Don't place a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Okay, but there's something deeper as well, which is if somebody is blind in a particular area in life, do not take advantage of that blindness, thereby placing a stumbling block in front of them. Amar lecha. Bas ploni maile kuhuna, right? So if a guy inquires about a girl for a shidduch, and he says, you know, I'm a kohen, you think she's permitted, you know, bas ploni, that girl, is she permitted to marry into the kuhuna? Al tomar lo kshera v'hi eina ela psula. Don't tell him that she's kshera, when in fact, you know what? That she's not. Hayo notel b'cha etza. If he was asking advice from you, al titin lo etza she'ina hogenes lo. do not go ahead and give him a piece of advice that's not appropriate for him. Shva'al tomer lo, mechor sadcha v'kach l'chach amar. Like, don't give him advice. Why don't you sell your field and purchase a donkey? Va'ata okeif alav v'not l'mimenu. And the reason you're saying that is because you want the field. Or shema tomer, eitze yafa ani no sin lo. So let's say, now here's what's interesting. So let's say it happens to be that there is a spike in the donkey market, right? And therefore, again, actually selling off your land happens to be a good investment idea rather than going ahead and retaining the donkey. I mean, let's say it's actually true. Let's say what he's describing over here is a case of where I am pushing, we'll call him Reuven. So I am pushing Reuven in a particular direction that is good for me, but it also happens to be beneficial for him. So, for example, I want that field. That's why I'm telling him to sell the field. But it just also happens to be that as a financial advisor, I could tell him that, you know, and this is the truth, that investment in the donkey is a better investment than an investment in land. So I'm telling him something. The motivation is because I want something for myself. But the byproduct is that it also happens to be good for him. So the Gemara says, the Ramchal says, Shema Tomar, so a person could easily rationalize and justify this for themselves, saying, you know what, I'm giving him objectively good advice. Hari hadavar masr lalev. Just understand that this matter is given over to the heart. Shin emar v'yarei sami elokecha. You shall fear God. And as Rebbe Sfat Ramchal says, is that whereas it might be true that maybe you are giving him advice that's good for him on some level, but at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that the motivation for your advice is because you want something for yourself. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu cautions us against. Because also you understand that this is such a slippery slope. Even if the advice looks good for him now, if my main motivation is to look out for me and not to look out for the other, it's only a matter of time until I give him advice that's not good for him. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be careful. If you give advice to another, which sometimes we're called upon to do, make sure the advice you're giving them is the right advice for them, and not the right advice for you that also happens to be good for them. It turns out that we learn Shabain Bedavar Shiachal Lihios Nogebo, Bain Bedavar Shinor Nogebo Klal, Chayiv Adam Lahamid Esabali Hisyaitzbo Allah MS Azach Vabar. So also it comes out that whether in being consulted about a matter that has to do with me or doesn't have to do with me at all, if someone comes to ask advice for me, I have to make sure that I'm always giving the individual the best advice, the clearest advice, and the purest advice. This is the most important yisod. V'tira, sha'amrat, sha'amda Torah, al-sof datam sha'ramayim. So we'll say the Torah goes ahead and literally anticipates that which wicked people are going to do. The lav bishuftani askinon. But say this is an expression. Lav bishuftani askinon means we're not dealing with fools. Sheyatzu eitza shera'am for semes v'niglis. So we'll say, remember, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says lifnei iver lo sitei mikshol, about not giving bad advice to people. So the Torah realizes we're not dealing with fools. What does that mean? That if I'm going to give bad advice to Reuven, I'm not going to give him objectively bad advice. I'm not going to really give him discoverable bad advice. Instead, what's going to happen? Ella, bechachamim lahara, asher yitnu eitz lechavreihem, l'shelafi hanigla ba, yish ba min harevach al chaveiro be'emes, ach sof ha'inyan eina letovaso shel chaveiro, ki'im l'ra'aso, u'lahanaso shel hamiyayis. But I will say, Chazal, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu understood that the type of mikshol, the type of stumbling block that he is encouraging us against, is a type of stumbling blocks that doesn't look negative. It doesn't look detrimental. It actually could even look somewhat beneficial. But at the end of the day, I know that the reason I'm doing it is not for the other, but rather ultimately for me. It's that type of advice that the Torah warns us against. And we'll say, this I think is a bigger challenge than often we think. Because what this requires of one is to be absolutely self-aware. You know, sometimes a person could dispense advice to another or give a suggestion that they really think is actually best for the other, but the truth is they're really saying it for themselves. They're not actually looking out for anyone but their own personal interests. And it's those things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to tell us, don't do that. If you're going to dispense advice for the other, give it 1,000% for them. You should have absolutely no negius and ortia. That's why most of we have the concept that if a person ultimately can't give good advice, they should say so. Right? That's why there's the concept of conflict of interest. It's just that in Judaism, conflict of interest That's good advice too, 100%. I can't help you. There's a conflict, which I will say the incredible part is that I think from a Judaic perspective, probably the threshold for conflict of interest is much less than it is on a secular level. Because really, what it requires on a Jewish level is the idea. I will say, I'm not going to bring in current events, but if I were to bring in current events, you know, the notion that, let's see, for example, what's happening now with the state's attorney, whether those officers are guilty or not guilty, the notion that in society, someone who is so intertwined with what's happening in victims' lives could actually be it's beyond what Sunchal is talking about. How can you possibly be objective in such a case? A dayon would be obligated immediately to recuse themselves in such a situation like that, where there was personal ties, familial ties. But that's what the Ramchal is saying, because you can't be objective. The most difficult thing in life is to be objective in general. None of us are objective. It's important to understand that. You know, it's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says that when you are the Dayan, you have this amazing Mishnah. You have to view the Balei Dinin as Rishayim. Both litigants are guilty. Both litigants are wicked. So, what about the concept of guilty or innocent until proven guilty? So the truth is, what Chazal is saying is like this. Why are both litigants guilty? Because one thing, if you are the judge, there's one thing you could bank on, which is you're not going to get the truth from either of them. Now, what does that mean? They're liars? No. What it means, Rabbi Sai, is none of us are really capable of delivering objective truth. We all deliver subjective truth. I give the truth as I see it. You give the truth as you see it. You're not lying. I'm not lying. We just espouse that truth through the lens through which we take in the events of the world, which by definition means that none of us are objective. So we'll say, once you understand that none of us are really objective in anything in life, this is what the Ramchal is driving at. So somebody comes to me for advice, somebody comes to me for guidance, I have to be very careful that whatever I say to them is not for me, is that I don't have any kind of interest or is not biased by me at all, that I'm able to give them real, real definitive advice. And if I can't do that, so the Ramchal would say the obligation of the individual would be to recuse themselves, to tell the individual, as much as I would love to help you, I'm not sure that I can really give you the unbiased advice that you want, and I'm nervous that if I tell you what I think or I tell you what to do, at the end of the day, perhaps I could be placing a mikshal, a stumbling block in front of you. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Tzah Hashem, Akin Omru tomorrow on page Kuf Yud Gimel.